This evening we're looking at Psalm 65, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. We're continuing our study of the Psalms, and we're looking at a few Psalms here in a row that do not carry the idea of protection from enemies. That's been a common theme in some of the Psalms that we've been looking at recently, but the next three Psalms or so, four, will not have that theme. Other ideas are presented. And this evening in Psalm 65, we're going to look at God's favor upon man and upon his creation upon the earth. And God, when he creates, he takes care of his creation. He doesn't create and then just walk off. He doesn't create and then remain oblivious to what's going on. He takes care of man. The main need, verse 3, is his sin, forgiving him of his sin, and then he takes care of his earth. He waters the earth. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately, especially this summer. We've had a lot of rain, and we've been blessed with a lot of rain. And God takes care of his earth as well. Let's read Psalm 65 together. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou wilt forgive them. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. By terrible things thou wilt answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. Thou that art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, who by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded about with might, who stilleth the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest them grain, when thou hast so prepared the earth. Thou waterest its furrows abundantly, thou settlest the ridges thereof, thou makest it soft with showers, thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the hills are girded with joy. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered over with grain. They shout for joy, they also sing. This is a praise psalm. Our next psalm will be similar. It is also a praise psalm. And this is praise for God's favor toward man, namely his salvation from sin and God's favor upon his earth. He waters the earth, he allows the plants to grow and the animals to grow. Verse 3, as for our transgressions, thou wilt forgive them. This is the key favor that God shows toward man. And then in verse 6, who by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded about with might, he takes care of his earth. He crowns the year with goodness. And so he takes care of man. He takes care of the earth. In verses 1 through 4, God's grace is the key, his graciousness. He shows abundant pardon towards sin. In verses 5 through 8, his greatness and his power. Look at verse 5, terrible things. These are things that should produce reverence or fear toward God. and his might, his strength is mentioned in verse 6. So his graciousness in verses 1 through 4, his greatness in verses 5 through 8, and then his goodness through his providence toward taking care of the earth. You crown the year with goodness. So that would be a good way to look at this particular psalm. In the title, it mentions a psalm and a song. We don't know really if there's a lot of difference between those two words. They are two different Hebrew words, but they mean about the same thing. This was certainly a psalm that was meant to be sung in praise to God. In Psalm 65, we have a praise to God. Notice in verse 1, praise waiteth for thee, O God. And then in the very last verse, they shout for joy, they also sing. So it opens and closes with praise. The psalmist is thankful and praises God for his abundant favor toward mankind, verses 1 through 5, and toward the earth, verses 6 through 13. The psalm is positive and optimistic without the curses and complaints found in previous lament psalms. We've been looking at several psalms where the psalmist is bothered by his enemies and troubled by them. There's none of that here or in the next psalm. So we're looking at a different theme here. Very positive theme about what God gives toward man and the earth. First, God is praised because he is gracious to mankind. He answers their prayer, verse 2. He pardons their transgressions, and he allows them to approach him and worship in his holy temple. Next, God is praised for his greatness and power. With his great power, God answers prayer, verse 5, sets the mountains, verse 6, fills the seas and sends out the morning and evening, verse 8. Finally, God is praised for his goodness to his earth. He waters the earth, verses 9 and 10, and produces bounty and rejoices, verses 11 through 13. If we have time this evening, we'll look at another psalm where just about the whole psalm is dedicated to God taking care of his earth. We need to remember that without God, we would not have these things. And, you know, you look at, Dave Farms, you look at the farmers, they probably appreciate that more than the rest of us do. That's how they make their living. But we would not have anything without God's reign. And it's not just natural laws in motion. It's God behind these things. Okay? So we benefit because we get forgiveness of sins, and the earth benefits because it gets the water. Okay, let's answer our questions. Dave, we'll start with you tonight. What is given to God in Zion? Right. So praise waiteth for thee. This is a praise psalm, and in Zion, so we're talking about Jews in Jerusalem. This would be coming from them primarily. Although all flesh are called upon to come to God. Pat, number 2, what does God hear?
Prayer.
Right. And this is very common in the Psalms that God hears our prayer. We're going to see in the next psalm, Psalm 66, verse 18, if we have iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. It's not unconditional hearing. We have to be right if we want God to hear us. But he does hear us, and this is one of the favors that he bestows upon man. Matthew number 3, what does God forgive? Right. And again, whenever there's verses like this, this is not meant to be the totality of everything on the subject. Under the old law, they would have had to offer up sacrifices and things along those lines. But he does forgive man. And there's other things involved in that when you look at the other Old Testament passages. But that's another favor that he bestows upon man. He answers prayer. He forgives us of our sins. Mandy, number four, what man is blessed? Right, the one who he has chosen to approach him, to come into his courts, to come into his house or his temple. So you might want to look sometime at the notes. There are some what I call the Beatitudes in the Psalms. Blessed is the man, different places in the Psalms, just like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And then there's the Beatitudes of John in the book of Revelation. At different places we have this idea. If this is the temple, Solomon's temple, then this probably would not be David, but it might be someone after his time. Or David could be anticipating the time when the temple would be built. Remember the what we call the titles or the subtitles, those are, you know, that's not God's word. Those are Jewish traditions that go back very far, but that's not inspired from God. Those are suggestions. Okay. And Larry, number five, how does God answer man's prayer? Yes, by terrible things thou wilt answer us in righteousness. God answers with his deeds and with his works. He answers in righteousness. God is not going to answer us somehow different from his character. He's not just going to answer us the way man would answer us. He's going to answer in righteousness. It's going to be right and just and according to truth. It's not just going to be however he feels at the moment or, you know, something like that. It's always going to be according to truth and righteousness, and the deeds that he shows toward us will match that righteousness. And he's a God of our salvation. Again, the first part of this is God's favor toward man, particularly in the area of salvation from sin. Okay, number six, Claudette, what does God do with his strength? Right. So now, verses 1 through 5, God's favor toward man. Now we get into God's creation regarding the earth. And with his power and strength, he set fast the mountains, stills the roaring of the seas. And so now we're talking about the physical earth. And God does this through his strength. Janice, number 7. What are people afraid of or in awe of concerning God? Right. The King James says tokens, and the American Standard says tokens. The word signs or wonders would be better probably understood. It's talking about God's signs and wonders, his deeds, his miraculous deeds, the power that he shows in the earth. So signs or wonders, God's power that he shows in the world around us. It's God's evidence of his power, what he makes, what he controls in the earth. And man should be in awe of that. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. It's like making the dawn of the day or the evening. He keeps his creation going where we have morning and evening. And we're in the part of the psalm that deals with God's control over his creation. Mike, number 8, what does God do to the earth?
He dishes the earth and causes it to overflow and greatly enriches it. He prepares the grain, he prepares the earth, he waters his furrows abundantly, settles his ridges, softens it with showers, and blesses his growth.
Right. So there's a big emphasis here on God watering the earth and making sure that, you know, the showers get the ground ready for the crops. And without that, we wouldn't eat. We wouldn't be able to eat. And so he makes a creation and then he cares for it daily.
Talking about farmers. We have the seasons so set up, God has set them up in such a way that we know when winter's over, we know when spring's coming, we know when the temperature of the ground is going to rise and plant, when we're going to get the rains. And we take all this for granted.
You know, right.
The bread basket of the U.S., I remember my father, when we had a drought, that was the time of prayer. Churches really fell close to God.
Right.
Because you have a drought, and when you needed the rains would come. Generally.
Right. We just go to Kroger or Walmart and buy our food. You know, we may not think about it as much as the farmer does, but you know, we rely upon God's water. And it's not just naturalistic evolution, it's not just, you know, naturalistic laws, but God is sending these things out. He's behind his world and his creation providing these things. Okay? So we ought to pray and be appreciative of those, what we might call the simple things, like rain, you know, so that we can have something to eat. Okay? Right, so a lot that deals with watering the earth there in verses 9 and 10. Eric, number 9, what does God do to the year?
He crowns the year with his goodness and paths drip down with abundance. The little hills rejoice on every side.
Right. And so he crowns the year with goodness. That's a good thought. And we can look back over the year, each year, and see God's goodness. And we need to be thankful for that. And Mason, number 10.
What does God do to the pastures, hills, and valleys? He drops their goodness and abundance onto the pastures, and hills rejoice on his
own. Right. So the flocks can graze off of the vegetation that has been grown by the water, so it's all a cycle that is produced by God. So we have something to eat, we have the animals. They shout for joy, they also sing. And so it's a call to praise God for his favor toward man in forgiveness of sins and his favor toward the earth and watering the earth. Any comments or thoughts on that psalm? And again, we've had a lot of rain this summer, and I've been thinking about that with regard to this psalm. We need to be thankful. Okay, let's look at some applications. God answers prayer. How does God answer our prayers? Sherry?
In truth and mercy and faithfulness and righteousness.
Right. There's statements made elsewhere in the psalm about God answering in righteousness and truth and mercy and that type of thing. He's not going to answer us in a way that's contrary to his nature. He's not just going to, like a doting parent, you know, give us something that we don't need or shouldn't have or contrary to his character. So it's always going to be in truth and righteousness and justice and mercy. And so when we ask, we might get something different from what we want, or we might not get what we want, but when God answers, it's always going to be in truth and righteousness. We can guarantee that his answer is going to be right. It may not be what we like or what we want, but it will be right. And that's a good thing. Number 2, Dave. God forgives us of our iniquities and transgressions. What did sinful Israel need to do to be forgiven? Yeah. One reason why I put this in here was that, yes, God forgives, verse 3, but you have to read elsewhere to see the conditions of that. It's not unconditional. They need to return. They need to repent. There's verses that talk about sacrifices that have to be made. For us today, it's the gospel plan of salvation, you know. And for the erring Christian, Acts 8, it's, you know, confessing and repenting and prayer, 1 John 1, 7. So God forgives, but we have to meet the conditions that He lays down for that. You want to take the rest of that, David, who is blessed?
Got all this
lumped
together.
Oh, okay.
Those are forgiven and covered.
Right. Yeah, this is Psalm 32, verse 1 is quoted in Romans 4 and verse 7. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Verse 2, rather. That's quoted by Paul in Romans 4, 7. God will not lay to our account iniquity. But Psalm 32 goes on to say in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin. So there are conditions that have to be met. It's not just unconditional, where God just automatically forgives us and we don't have to do anything. So there are things that the Israelite had to do, and there are things that we have to do today. But it is great that God forgives, and that's what this psalm is about, the first part. Number 3, Pat, man is blessed who can come and worship God in his house. The Holy Temple. Who are the temple of God today? Right. And I need to, I realize I didn't put the verses in there. I need to go back and put those verses in. And who are the house of God today? Right. The church, the house of God, the church of the living God. So we're the Lord's people. Christians are those who come and be a part of the Lord's temple today. It's not a physical temple like in the Old Testament, but a spiritual temple made up of God's people. And we need to be a part of those who approach, verse 4, who approach God. That's blessed is the man. The man that's blessed is the one who becomes a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. It's not someone who has a lot of money and power and prestige and fame and all of that. It's just someone who comes and is in right standing with God to worship Him. And that today, that's the church, members of the church. Okay, number 4, Matthew, men stand in awe. This should be of the wonders of God's creation. What do the heavens declare? Okay, and how is mankind made? Right. The reason I put those two verses in there is it talks about how that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're a part of God's wonderful creation. We need to stand in awe of God. Thou also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy signs or wonders. We should wonder. We should reverence and respect the wonders and greatness of God's creation. And our own body is like that. We're fearfully and wonderfully made when we look at the cells and the brain and the eye and all of the parts of the body. And then when we look at the heavens above and other parts of creation. So it should cause us to stand in awe and wonder. And I believe that man in general really is awed by what's going on. It's just that they refuse to see a creator behind that. They come up with other ideas as to how. But, I mean, you look at doctors and scientists and others. They really do stand in awe at the human body and what it can do and other things like that. It's just some choose to believe and some don't. But there's no question that there's some amazing things going on in the plant kingdom, animal kingdom, the universe, the human body, and so forth. And it's thereby designed to cause us to turn to God, if we will. Number 5, many God waters His earth. What does God send to mankind and His earth? Right. So He sends out His rain. Acts 14, 17, He sends out rains and fruitful seasons. And Paul says in Acts 14:17 that God has not left Himself without witness. In other words, he has given that as an evidence, rain and other things. He didn't create this world and then not give evidence or witness that he's there, where we have to grope around wondering if there's a creator or not. He made sure that there is a witness or a testimony or an evidence of him. Number six, Larry, God is good. He crowns the year with goodness. What comes down from God?
Every good and every perfect gift.
Right. If there is something in the earth that is not good and perfect, it didn't come from God. It came from man or the devil. But God is only going to give us what is good and perfect and right. And he's to be praised for that. And number seven, Claudette, God gives us all spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, verse 3, and all physical blessings, watering the earth and so forth. What do Christians have in Christ? Right. And God is going to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours. So God's going to take care of us, and we need salvation from sin, and we need providential care in watering the earth so that we can have something to eat, and God takes care of those needs. Okay? Any thoughts on this psalm or any comments? Turn with me to Psalm 104. I would like to read Psalm 104. It'll be a while before we get to Psalm 104, so by the time we get there, we can take time to read it again. But this whole psalm pretty much deals with God's care over his physical creation, and I want us to remind ourselves of what God does. The next time you go outside and experience any sort of weather condition or anything like that, think about God. We need to thank God. We need to look out on the creation around us and be reminded of that. So I wanted to read Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is similar to the last part of the psalm that we read tonight, and about God watering the earth. So I thought it would go along with it. Psalm 104, and then we'll sing a couple of songs and then close. Psalm 104. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. O Jehovah, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. This evening we talked about, you know, the great works and deeds of God. Verse 2. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, with the Hubble telescope, and things like that. We really know how far it stretched out, don't we? It is amazing how many light years across is just our galaxy, and then there are multiple galaxies. So stretched out like a curtain, that is very far. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh winds his messengers, flames of fire his ministries. Maybe a reference to lightning there. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be moved forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a vesture. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down under the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth forth springs into the valleys. They run among the mountains. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their habitation. They sing among the branches. He watereth the mountains from his chambers. The earth is filled with the fruit of thy works. Notice that it's God doing this. He causeth the grass to grow. It's not just natural laws only. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread that strengtheneth man's heart. So we wouldn't be able to eat and drink if we did not have this. The trees of Jehovah are filled with moisture, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou maketh darkness and its night, wherein all the beasts of the forest creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. Lions hunting at night. The sun ariseth, they get them away and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Jehovah, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And this is, you know, similar to what we read tonight. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. And if this is from a Jewish perspective, it would be the Mediterranean Sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is Leviathan, some large sea creature, whom thou hast formed to play therein. These wait all for thee, that thou mayest give them their food in due season. Thou givest unto them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are satisfied with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. God's providential hand keeps things alive and allows things to die. It's all in God's hand. Verse 30, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the ground. Let the glory of Jehovah endure forever. Let Jehovah rejoice in his works. Who looketh on the earth, and it trembleth? He toucheth the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing unto Jehovah as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. Let my meditation be sweet unto him. I will rejoice in Jehovah. Let sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. Praise ye Jehovah. So again, it's a praise psalm concerning God's care over all of his physical works. And it's good for us to remind ourselves that without God, we would not have these physical kinds of things. Okay. We'll sing a little bit. Praise waits for thee in Zion. To thee vows paid shall be. O God of prayer, the hearer, all flesh shall come to thee. Iniquities are daily prevailing over me, but all of our transgressions are covered o'er by thee. How blessed the man thou choosest and bringest near to thee, that in thy courts forever his dwelling place may be. We shall within thy temple be wholly satisfied and filled with all the goodness thy sacred courts provide. O God of our salvation, thou in thy righteousness, with awesome deeds and wonders, thine answer wilt express. O thou in whom confiding all ends are, lean upon the farthest sea. This next one is Psalm 65, verses 6 through 13. Thy might has built the mountains, power clothes thee evermore. To calm the nation's clamor and still the ocean's roar, thine awesome signs and wonders fill distant lands with fear. Thou makest dawn and sunset for joy to shout and cheer. Thy visits bring the showers. Thou dost enrich the field. God's river brims with water. Thou dost preparers yield. Thou waterest earth's furrows. Floods break down 'neath thy rain. Thou softenest earth with showers to bless each sprouting grain. Thou crownest year with goodness. Thy steps enrich the ground. The desert pastures blossom. The hills with joy resound. The field with flocks are covered. The vales with grain are clad. They all rejoice with shouting. They all with songs are glad. Thank you.